There are many blessings in reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam is reported to have said that recite salat upon me wherever you are, as indeed your salat reaches me. Sallu ala al-Habib. My Islam brothers and viewers of Madri channel. Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah ta'ala, he was a reputed saint. And he had the love of Allah azza wa jalla and his messenger in his heart. And he said that Allah Azza wa Jal honored me with the privilege of performing Hajj consecutively for 14 years. Every year I went to Mecca, I saw a man grasping the Kaaba's door. And whenever he recited, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, a voice would heard from the unseen, La Labbaik. Your talbiyah has not been accepted. And I said, after witnessing this for 14 years, I finally asked him, O Darvish, are you not able to hear this that I can hear? Are you not able to hear the fact the voice from the unseen is Lala Beg, that your talbiyah has not been accepted? Can you not hear this sound? The man issued a response and he said, O Sheikh, these are but 14 years. If I were to live for 14,000 years, Lala Beg was said to me 1,000 times a day instead of just once a year, I shall not leave nor lift my head from this door until it is here I can still stay. Allah Akbar. He said, as I conversed with him, a piece of paper fell from the sky and landed upon his chest. He took hold of it and he handed it to me. It read, O Malik bin Dinar, you distanced my slave from me. Do you believe I have not accepted the 14 Hajj he has performed? The matter is not as such. I have accepted the Hajj of every pilgrim during this time simply due to the blessings of his cries. That he used to go there and cry. You know, nowadays we go on Hajj and we think we've got it made. You know, I need to do my Hajj once, I've got my Hajj done, finished. This person, every time he went on the Hajj for 14 years, he was told, no. La labbaik, your talbiyah is not accepted. A voice kept on being heard from him. No, it's not accepted, no, it's not accepted. Yet he continued, and he continued, and he continued. He didn't give up. And he said that even if it's 14 years, 14,000 years, if it was just once a day, at the moment it's just once a year, if it was every day of my life, I would still not give up with this. And this passion, this passion of going on the Hajj is only seen in these people. Do we have that same passion? Alhamdulillah, we are in the West, so to speak. You know, people will say that we are an affluent nation, that we are lucky that we have money more than others. I know people are saying, well, oh, the Hajj is expensive now. Oh, and if you travel from Pakistan, it's a lot cheaper. But I'll give you an example. Here they're saying the Hajj is about £10,000. An average person that can make, if he doesn't have any other expenses, no expenses, and I know we all have expenses, he can make £10,000 easily in 6 months' time. Person that's only £20,000, he can make £10,000 in 6 months. Yet in Pakistan, for someone to travel there, and it's costing him nearly 20 lakh rupees, £5,000, we say it's cheaper over there, how many years does he have to work to save up, not continuously, not an expensive, to make that 20 lakh? And yet they are still going, they're still thriving, they're still wanting to go. People that go there, you see the difference. I don't know if any of you have been blessed with making that sacred journey, but one thing I noticed when I went there, and I noticed that from the moment I landed in Jeddah to the moment I came back, there was a huge difference from those people that went on the Hajj from this country, and a difference from the people that Hajj that went on from India and Pakistan. And you know, they have these bands, these armbands, yeah, different colors. And I think at the time ours was a red one, I think, and theirs was a yellow one. Right from the first day, you could see a difference. The people from England, if they said, oh, we're going to go to this cave, we're going to go to this place, oh, you know what, I'm tired, we'll do it next time. Or if you go here, you get this, oh, we'll do it next time, oh, we'll do it next time, oh, we'll do it next time. I heard this next time, next time, next time, so many times. But when you saw these people from the Pak Indian subcontinent, they knew this was probably the only time. They knew it's probably the only time, and they made sure that they squeezed every minute out of the day. Every minute of the day to get the blessings of that journey. Whereas the rest of us, you know, you see people that are sitting in these takeaways, sitting in these restaurants, going these, not these people. Because they knew that this is going to be a once in a lifetime journey for them. And to those people that come from England, maybe for them it is also a once in a lifetime journey. But they just have this mindset, I'm going to come again. Nothing to worry about. How many people have been on Hajj 15 years ago, 20 years ago? Allah Azza wa Jalla not given them the tawfiq to travel again. But when they went then, they thought, I'll come again and I'll do this next time. I'll come again and I'll do this next time. So this passion for the Hajj, this yearning for the Hajj, to get the reward from the Hajj is something that only these fortunate people are. Those people that go on this journey, they are fortunate. And you need to understand, in the dunya, you have three types of guests. You know, when people come to your house, there are three types of people. There's the first type of person that when he comes to your house, you don't really want him to come. You don't really want him to come. But if he comes, okay, he comes, okay, but you really want to, you know, get rid of him as soon as. Then there's the second time of guest. You don't mind him coming. You don't mind him coming, but you don't want him to stay for too long. So you get the teas out, you get the biscuits out, you give it him, and then you start looking at your watch and you start trying to make an excuse because you want to get rid of him. Then there's the third type of guest. And that guest, when he comes, you don't want him to leave. No. Wife just made some soup. No, she just made some. Come on, and you make all sorts of excuses to delay. No, just a little bit longer. My brother's coming. My cousin's coming. You've not met my children yet. And you try and keep that person in your house for so long. You'll do anything to get that piece of the. You know, my wife's just making a sweet dish. Oh, just have another cup of tea. Have a cup of coffee. You've not tried this. Let's give you some food. Just it's hot. You make all sorts of excuses to keep that person in your house. That is in the dunya. What about the house of Allah? What kind of guest are we in the house of Allah? Are we a guest in the house of Allah that if we come there, we come there by mistake? And as soon as we come in, we want to get out? Are we that person that when we come here, okay, we come here, but we don't stay here very long? You know, as soon as we come here, get our namaz done, okay, out. Yeah? Or are we that person that when we come here, we don't want to leave here? Yes, we have responsibilities and eventually we have to leave. But what kind of guest of the house of Allah are we? In the same way, when we go on that journey, that sacred journey to the Hajj, what kind of person are we? Are we taking the full benefits from it? Again, I remember meeting someone. And fortunately, where I was staying at that time, it was quite close to the Haram. And there was this person, he was sitting on a piece of cardboard. And every day I saw him sitting on a piece of cardboard. And one day it dawned on me that maybe he was a beggar, but he was too ashamed to ask. You know, so what I did is I shook his hands and I had some money in my hand. So I kind of like closed it. As soon as he grabbed hold of my hand, his face changed. He said, what's in your hand? I said, there's some money. He said, who said I want some money? I said, no, but I just thought maybe you did. He said, no, I don't want any money. Sit down. He said, you're going to be punished for this. It's got saza. He said, there's going to be a punishment for this. I thought, well, I don't know what's going to happen now. So he released my hand and he gave me the money back. And he said to me, you disrespected me by doing this. I said, I apologize. He said, no, that's okay. But I want something off you now. And I said, what? He said, sit here. Before you get up, I want you to recite Durood-e Pak for me 300 times. 300 times you recite to me, give it to me and you can leave. Okay, so I sat there. I recited Durood-e Pak upon him. I said, Azur is for you. And then I asked him a question. By this time, I'd realized that he had a band on his hand. By this time, I realized I had a band on his hand. And I realized that band was from the Indian-Pakistan subcontinent. It was that color band. So I said to him, Azur, you've come here illegally. You are legal here. You're not an illegal person that's come on Hajj. You come here with a group. You must have a hotel. You must have all these things. All I ever see is I see you here. I've never seen you. I've never seen you. You're even sleeping here. And he said to me, Beta, if you want to see me, you'll see me in three places. Either here, or that sandwich shop, or the Haram Sharif. I haven't got time to go to the hotel. I haven't got time to go to the... What am I going to do going in the... What am I going to do and sit in the hotel? Isn't it better that I sit here? Isn't it better that I sleep here, that as soon as I get up, I can go across the road and go into the Haram? This mindset, where is this? Where is this passion for traveling on that journey? For the majority of us, unfortunately, it's just become a holiday. Or it's become a tick in the box. It's something I must do in my life. Yeah, I will need to fulfill that tick, you know, because I know Hajj has become, oh, let's go and get it done. But when we go over there, let's go and get some plenty of shopping done. Let's get plenty of this done, get plenty of that done. Let's make sure it's just done. And then we can say, yeah, I've done my Hajj. Allahu Akbar. During the era of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, the Kaaba was lifted from the earth when the storm occurred. When then moved to the era of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded him by declaring, O Ibrahim, construct the sacred house of Allah. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam then traveled to Mecca and he built the Kaaba, aided by his son, Ismail alayhi salam. Father and son completed its construction together. O Ibrahim, Allah then ordered, make an announcement, call people for the Hajj. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said, O Allah, how far will my voice reach? Allah explained, make an announcement. Your job is to make an announcement. I myself shall convey it. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam then stood on the top of Mount Safa, or in Mount Abu Qubais according to another narration, and he proclaimed the Talbiyah. This made him the first person in history to recite it. After this, he explained, O people, Allah has certainly made the Hajj of this Bayt, the Kaaba, obligatory upon you. And he then, in another narration, it says that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said, indeed, Allah calls you to perform the Hajj of the sacred house, so that he may grant you paradise and free you from hellfire and its reward. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam made this announcement during his worldly life. Listen to this. During his worldly life, after building the Kaaba, by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this prophetic miracle, every single person could to come until the day of judgment heard this. Those who were fortunate that heard this responded with Labbaik. Imam Mujahid, he says, that those who responded with Labbaik will perform the Hajj in their lives. Whoever responded once shall perform the Hajj once. Whoever responded twice shall perform the Hajj twice. Whoever responded numerous times shall perform it numerous times. Anyone who undertakes the Hajj today, spends money for it, remains patient upon any difficulties they encounter in its process, performs the Tawaf of the Kaaba, takes up the Mina, Muzdalfa and all the plains of Arafah and runs between Safa and Marwa, this is all evidence for those fortunate people that said Labbaik in response to the call of Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that all of us that are here today and all of us that are watching on Monday channel that our souls have said Labbaik and that we're all fortunate enough to make this journey. Hajj, my dear Islam brothers and viewers on Monday channel, is obligatory upon every Muslim possessing the means to perform it. Scholars of Islam have said that Hajj becomes obligatory upon an individual when they have enough money to leave their home, reach Mecca as well as to cover the cost of staying there and returning home. He also must possess enough expenditure to suffice for his family in his absence. The path to Mecca must also be peaceful and free from danger. As soon as it becomes, this is an important ruling, as soon as it becomes obligatory upon someone, they must perform the Hajj immediately. It is completely wrong to say, I'll go next year, let me sort out my children first, let me get my wedding done first, let me focus on my business issues before I go. The scholars have further said, if Hajj is obligatory upon someone, yet they delay it year after year with a variety of excuses, it shall remain obligatory upon them even if they become poor thereafter. If stuck with poverty, they must perform the Hajj by taking out a loan. This is how important it is. Allahu Akbar. Despite it being obligatory, there are still people amongst us that make all sorts of excuses about not performing the Hajj. The Hajj becomes obligatory upon you, and you don't perform that Hajj. And if you die, which we're all going to do, we're all going to die, that's the only certainty they have. If you die before performing that Hajj that is obligatory upon you, there is a great chance you'll die without your iman. And there's also, you know, a blessing as well and a mercy in it, that I remember that I, when I was fortunate to go, and I remember we were just about to leave Arafat, and there was a scholar there, a beautiful scholar, I still remember him. And he said to me, Beta, that do you know that when Hajj became obligatory, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Hajj is obligatory upon you. The Muslim said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is it obligatory upon us every year? And he posed the question three times, and three times the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent. And then finally the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, it is only obligatory upon you once in your lifetime. Now at that time, you know, when I heard that, he explained to me, he said, look, better think that at that time, how many Muslims were there? How big was the Ummah at that time? It was feasible for them to perform the Hajj every year. But if the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said yes, if the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said yes, that it is obligatory upon you every single year, just think what would it be like now? And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this authority. He had this authority There are many instances in the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he himself said, if I said yes, this would have become obligatory upon you. And here the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said yes. Then it would have become obligatory upon us every year. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his infinite wisdom, he has made it easy for us. And Hajj is only farther upon us once in our lifetime. Still, we don't want to perform the Hajj. Allahu Akbar. Just think about how that wealth that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. That wealth Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. You may have worked hard for that wealth. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you that wealth. And if you are fortunate to have that amount of wealth to perform the Hajj, then Allah has given you. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. Now that's your test now. Your test is whether you want to get your kitchen extension done, whether you want to get a new sofa, whether you want to expand your business, whether you want to get your children married, or you want to perform the Hajj. It's entirely up to you. That's your choice. And this journey, the journey of Hajj, is a journey of love. It's a journey of love. All of that difficulties that you face, you're facing them difficulties in the mindset that you are following in the footsteps of the pious predecessor. You are following in the footsteps of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All that hardship that you're facing. Because yes, without a doubt, performing the Hajj is not easy. But that hardship that you're facing is a show of your love. It is a show of your obedience. It's a show of your will to spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. Shaykh Balqi, Ramatullah, he explains that on my way to Makkah to perform the Hajj, I saw a man who could not walk, dragging himself across the ground. I was taken aback by his determination. Kneeling him, I asked him, my brother, where do you come from? He replied, I've come from Samarkand, a district of Uzbekistan, 4,417 kilometers from Makkah Sharif. He had come from this astonishingly far away, all whilst being unable to walk and dragging himself on the floor. My brother, I then asked, how long ago did you leave Samarkand? 10 years have passed, he said. 10 years. My surprise and amazement left me overwhelmed, and I could not take my eyes away from him as I slowly processed what he had just said. And then he said to him, what is it that you're looking at? And he said, I'm deeply amazed at how far you have traveled in spite of your physical disability. The strong-willed man exclaimed, O Shaykh, my passion will bring my distant destination close. As far as being unable to walk, Allah will help me overcome this. Look at this passion. Look at this love. He could have made 100 excuses, 1,000 excuses. There's no transport. There's no this, there's no that, there's no this, there's no that. What are our excuses? I remember once coming up to a traffic light not far from my home. And there was a bus stop there. And as the bus went past, somebody got off the bus and he was on crutches. And as soon as he got off, I felt sorry for him that he was on crutches. That was nobody there to help him. And his crutch fell, he picked up the crutch and he struggled and he got the crutch and his one leg's up and he's crutching, hopping away. And I realized that he was walking to a pub. 100 yards down the road, there was a pub and the traffic lights were red all this time. And I thought to myself that this person has made such an effort to go to a place of sin. How much effort do we put in to come to a house of Allah? A little bit of a headache? No, I can't go. Toothache? No chance. Yeah. Bit of a cold? No. You know, backache? No. All these excuses we make for not going to the house of Allah. And the same way, all the excuses we make for not performing the Hajj. And are these valid reasons? If Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with the health, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with wealth, then these minor things should not stop you. And we try to exaggerate them. Oh, I'm suffering from migraine this year, so I can't go on the Hajj. Okay, is it severe enough that will impair you? But then there are those unfortunate people. There are those unfortunate people that go on the Hajj but don't go on the Hajj. I've heard of people that have reached the city of Makkah, but then they've had an argument with the tour guide, demanded the money back, and got on the plane back. Only those who are fortunate enough, lucky enough, are unable to perform this. So we need to ask ourselves in the same way that we need to ask ourselves, what kind of guest are we in the house of Allah? What kind of guest are we in traveling on this sacred journey? A journey that we should all yearn for, have that passion inside us. If you performed it once, you should try and perform it twice, three, for whatever it is. Have this passion inside you at least. Have this thirst inside you. And the thing is, we don't have this thirst. We don't have this yearning inside us. We don't want to really do it. And unless you have this passion inside you, it won't happen. And this is in a lot of things in your life. You have to have that passion inside you to be able to have things happen. Someone once to a pious person, and he said, Sheikh, I want to be able to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dreams. And the Sheikh said to him, look, go home. On your way home, buy 1.5 kilo of salty fish. Cook the fish. Eat the fish. Don't drink any water. Don't drink any liquids and go to bed. The person, oh, this is easy. This is easy. And he went and bought a 1.5 kilo of fish, got his wife to cook it, he ate all the fish, yeah, didn't drink any water, went to sleep. The next morning he got up and came back to the Sheikh. And he said, Sheikh, you said, he said, what did I say? He said, you said if I eat the fish, he said, no, I advise you to eat the fish. I didn't say to you what would happen if you eat the fish. Now you tell me. You ate that fish, you tell me what you saw in your dream. He said, oh, I saw water. I saw rivers. He said, that is the reason. You went to bed thirsty for something to drink, and you saw that in your dream. Until you go to bed thirsty in the same way to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dream, you'll not see him. You'll not see him. And until we have that thirst inside us to travel to the sacred journey, until we have that thirst inside us, we won't be able to make that journey. We won't be able to make that journey. We need to have that inside us, that passion inside us, that thirst inside us that, Ya Allah, I want to do it. Ya Allah, I want to do it. I know I have no money. I know I have no means. But Ya Allah, you make the means. And if you have that passion inside you, that yearning inside you, Allah will make the means. Allah will provide for you. But you need to have that passion. And we don't. I'm going to give you a few hadith narrating the virtues of performing the Hajj. As narrated by the companion Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, whoever performs the Hajj of the Kaaba and does not engage in obscenity or sin during it, he will return as his mother gave birth to him, i.e. he will be as pure as the day that he was born. In another hadith, certainly Hajj causes previous sins to be forgiven. This is an opportunity to get your previous sins forgiven. For example, you've lived all your life. I remember there's somebody, he said to me that, he said, brother, I know we do not believe, as Muslims, we cannot believe in being reborn again. That is against our belief. And he said, but if I was born again, I lived all my life again, I would never be able to pay off the debt that I've got now. He was in so much debt. He was in so much debt that he said, if I was born again and lived all my life and worked all my life, I'd never be able to pay off my debt. I'm going to die in debt. When it comes to debts, for example, if I said to you, look, you come to Preston, yeah? All right, you're all in Preston. All right, let's say, okay, let's say I say to you all, come to London and I'll pay off your debts. Whatever debts you've got, show me proof of your debts, I'll pay off your debts. You'd all come to London. You'd all come to London. And you say, I've got 5,000, I've got mortgage 50,000, I've got mortgage 200,000. Pay off my debts. But when it comes to getting your sins removed, to having that book of deeds cleaned, to have all of them actions, and who amongst us doesn't have a book of sins that we've collected over the years? Do we not want to have them sins removed from our book? Or do we not want to be held accountable for them sins? Because if we are held accountable for them sins, then the hellfire is definitely a place you don't want to go. I was reading recently and someone said that on this planet at the moment there are more than 7 billion people. The pain, the suffering, the anguish that these 7 billion people individually are facing, all the pain because of illnesses, whatever, if all of that pain and anguish was put inside one person, the pain and anguish of 7 billion people was put inside one person, that pain that he is facing would be less than the least punishment in the hellfire. Do we not want to get our sins forgiven? As Muslims, we should be looking for these opportunities. And the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is blessed. So many opportunities we get to perform good deeds. So many opportunities we get to get our sins removed from us. The blessed night of Shab-e Barat, the blessed month of Ramadan, the night of Lailatul Qadr, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, the day of Jummah, traveling in the way of Allah, all of these are opportunities. This ummah is blessed that you are blessed, that you have 5 daily prayers, 5 opportunities every day to get your sin removed from you. 5 opportunities. Again, we think it's a burden. The Salah is a burden. Ramadan is a burden. Zakat is a burden. Hajj is a burden. All of these things are burdens in our mind. We don't realize that all of these are actually blessings for us. That the Ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been given these blessings. The companion Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu anhu stated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a Hajj pilgrim will intercede for 400 of his family members and become sinless as he was when his mother gave birth to him. A person who performs the Hajj will be able to intercede for 400 people of his family members. And nowadays we don't think anything of it. I think what's happened nowadays is because so many people travel on the Hajj. Unfortunately for us, the value of the Hajj has gone down. There used to be a time where when a person was going on the Hajj, the whole village, the whole town used to gather together, go and meet him, you know, get him to remember to do dua that you're going, or please do dua for me, see him off at the train station, you know, whatever it was he was going, and everybody would be there. Nowadays, our next door neighbor's going on Hajj, we don't even know. People are going, and then when they come back, we don't even bother. And when we come back, the only reason we want to go and see them is to get the kujur and get the zamzam. That's the only thing that we want. That's the only thing we want from them. We don't want any blessings from them. We don't want anything from them. You know, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, when someone would go out and perform the Umrah, the Hajj, he would go to them afterwards and he'd go and see them. And he would go and say to them, have you been? He wouldn't ask, what was the food like? What was the journey like? What was this like? Was this good? Was that good? Have you been here? He said, have you been to the Roza Rasul? Allah. That was the question he would ask. That was the only question. Have you been to the resting place of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now remember, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was the Imam of his time, the greatest scholar of his time. And if anybody had said, come and he'd go and visit them, and they would said, yes, we have done, he would get up and he would kiss the feet of that person. That blessed feet that have been there, he would kiss them feet. That is love, that is passion, that is devotion. The companion Abu Dar Ghafari radiallahu anhu reports that Allah's Messenger said, Prophet Dawud al-Islam asked, O Allah, what reward is there for those who visit your house? Allah replied, whoever makes the Hajj of my Kaaba, I guarantee to pardon them in the world and forgive them when they meet me on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, when the day of Arafah comes, Allah declares, O angels, look at my slaves. They have journeyed far and wide. Their state is disheveled and their appearances are unkept. I make you witness that I've surely forgiven all of them. The angels then say, O Allah, they are even sinners amongst them. Allah states, indeed, I've forgiven them too. Allah Akbar. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced, an accepted Hajj is better than the world and everything in it. Along with this, the reward of it is nothing other than paradise. Allah Akbar. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, whoever departs for Hajj and passes away shall have the reward of Hajj written for them until the Day of Judgment. Allah. And whoever departs for Umrah and passes away, he will be granted the reward of Umrah until the Day of Judgment. You know, if you are performing a good deed and you die in that state, then inshaAllah that deed will be written for you until the Day of Judgment. You know, I remember many years ago meeting someone, and this is, you know, you hear these stories about these people and you think, these are 1,000 years ago, 1,200 years ago, 500 years ago, not possible today. I met a person, he said to me, my father, every week he recites a whole Quran. A whole Quran every week. I'm not talking about 500 years ago now, I'm talking about now, you know, 20 years ago. He said, my father recites a whole Quran every week. Then I lost contact with him and I didn't see him for many years. And when I saw him, I asked about him and I said, how's your father? And he said, my father passed away. I said to him, how did he pass away? He said, reading the Quran. Allah, Allah, Allah. Reading the Quran. Allah. You know, how do we spend the majority of our life? What are we doing with the majority of our time? Are we attached to the Quran? Are we attached to the masjid? Are we attached to this or are we attached to other places? With the masjid, how often do we come to the masjid? How often do we read our salah? Are we in the masjid in the same way? What is wrong? Is the masjid only for Ramadan? Is the Quran only for Ramadan? Is fasting only for Ramadan? Is sadaqah only for Ramadan? All of these things, they're not bound to the month of Ramadan. You can fast at any time of the year except for a few days. You can give sadaqah any time of the year. You can read your salah every day of the year. You can read the Quran any time of the year. We don't look forward to having these opportunities of coming to the house of Allah. We don't look forward to having these opportunities of going on the Hajj. Again, I remember many years ago being in Pakistan and the time for Hajj was there and the Hajj was being broadcast on the TV. And I remember being in someone's house and whilst the Hajj was being broadcast, he was standing and he was watching the TV and he was crying. He was crying in tears. And his children said to me, Bhai, every year he's like this. Every year when the Hajj is on the TV, he's crying. wishing that he could go there, wishing that he could get there. Do we have that passion inside ourselves? Maybe we don't have the money, maybe we don't have the means, maybe we don't have, but do we have that passion inside ourselves? Or is it unfortunate, are we the unfortunate ones that we have the money but we don't have the passion? Those people don't have the money but they have the passion inside them. They have the yearning inside them. They want to perform this, and we need to develop that. We need to develop that and change our lives. So I request everybody that's here today, all the people that are watching Madani Channel, that if Hajj is obligatory upon you, if Hajj is obligatory upon you, then if possible, I'd go and perform Hajj straight away. People are still booking the tickets, people are still going, do it now. Do not wait. In the same way, you will know of people that have passed away since Ramadan. And there are also people that, I was late, just now I was late to arrive at Ijtima, because a friend of mine had passed away. His namaz al-janaza will be tomorrow. This is happening everywhere. Death is all around us. It's not a rarity. Oh, I've never heard of someone passing away. Everyone's passing away. Every day people are passing away. The graveyards are filling up and the masjids are emptying. This is a sign for us. This is something that we need to be worried about. We need to prepare ourselves. So I leave you with this, that if Hajj is farz upon you, please make the intention to perform the Hajj as soon as possible. Please encourage your family members that Hajj is farz upon them to perform it as soon as possible. Because the greatest gift that you have is your iman. And a person is successful in this dunya if he dies with his iman. And this is our true purpose in life. And we need to prepare ourselves for that. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, then may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives me and you the ability to think about what I've said, to act upon what I've said, and to pass this on to others as well. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.
Mubarak for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success. Mubarak for you is my prayer. May you keep